is the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Everyone loves a Grody Bears hit. Look at his setup up there at Hallis Hall, too.
Yeah, he's got a monitor behind him. That's great. Did you drag that over from someplace else, Mark?
Is this the kindness of Stacy Dales again?
Yes, this is Stacy Dales' original studio, and it is constantly co-opted by myself and other members of the media. But this is my time right here. I have the lighting set the way I like it. I have the background the way I like it. So I hope you guys are enjoying it. And I hope everybody's doing great out at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Studios today. You guys sound great out there. My God, I wish I could be there.
Well, you actually kind of are because they can see you.
They can see you. They can see that outstanding jacket. Is that suede?
Is that corduroy?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a laundry day today, so I just threw on what I had. This is a Levi's suede.
It's beautiful.
Actually.
My goodness.
Yeah. Handsome, yeah, man.
Oh. I tried
it's
today.
The jacket. The jacket.
Apparently, I should have stayed reporting on the Bears. You get suede jackets for that.
And ladies, he's single. Go get him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
ladies,
yeah.
I have a cat. His name is Dave. How you like me now?
And he needs to lose, like, 2 more pounds. And then...
Dave.
Yeah, Dave. Not gross.
Oh, no, I need to lose 17 pounds. That's a different story. Yes.
Our segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by McGrath City Honda. When you do the math, you choose McGrath. Okay, sir, where should we start?
Let's start with who practiced and who didn't. For a second straight day, Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon were held out of the practice today. Of course, Brisker with the concussion, Gordon with the hamstring. Mercedes Lewis did not practice today because he's 40 and he's resting. Have to give that man time to rest. So worth mentioning, though, Mercedes Lewis resting 40.
40.
I put that in parentheses. The Bears didn't, but I do. He deserves a day off. That is for sure. Limited today, but practicing was Tyreek Stevenson. He has the calf injury. And a nice long list of guys who did practice in full today, including Larry Borum, Terrell Smith, Zach Pickens, Jacob Martin, defensive end, Travis Homer, running back, Scott Daly, who is a long snapper. I think the big deal, though, is the injury news that has come out of Washington, D.C. today, and that is that Jaden Daniels, for a second straight day, did not practice because of the ribs injury. Seeing a report from Adam Schefter from ESPN, and maybe other sources are reporting it at this point, that he may give it a go tomorrow. He may try to practice tomorrow, Jaden Daniels. So we shall see. And as a matter of fact, if I may, I'm gonna pull an audible here. Omaha! Chris Tannehill, if you don't mind, I would like to play the Eric Washington cut first here, the Bears defensive coordinator, because I think that fits perfectly into the Jaden Daniels conversation. I asked Eric Washington what changed when Mariota entered the game last week for Jaden Daniels.
I don't think it did. I don't think it did. I don't anticipate it will if he is the starter. They're going to run their offense, and he's capable of executing exactly what they want to get done within all of the concepts.
It stands out about the way, I mean, they run a lot of no huddle, and they'll run a lot of different plays out of the same personnel groupings. How are they so efficient in doing that? What challenge does that pose to
you? You know, we have to do a really good job of making sure that we communicate and that we're ready when the ball is snapped. As far as the pieces are concerned, their bodies. To your point, they can execute the multiple run concepts from different personnel groups, and we have to make sure that we're ready, we're communicating and getting the call in play and just getting ourselves set and ready to go.
If, as you said, they don't necessarily change much conceptually with Marcus Mariota as the quarterback, does that actually make it easier for you guys to prepare for, and I know you guys have to probably prepare for 2 quarterbacks, but does it make it easier because it's the same concept?
Well, it's I wouldn't say easier. We just understand that the offense should be consistent. We're anticipating that, but the skill sets are a little bit different. I mean, Mariota has experience. He's able to run the football. He can make throws. This person has been in a starter's role at various points in his career, so he's seen a lot of defensive football, a lot of arrangements. He can make quick decisions. So he'll come in with a slightly different skill set and experience level than Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there from Eric Washington. Mariota started the game 0-for-3 when he came in relief of Jaden Daniels. Then he went 15 for his next 16, including hitting 11 in a row, ran a good two-minute drill. Washington scored on six straight drives with Mariota at quarterback against the woeful Panthers. It's interesting, guys. I think Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon are massively important every week, but against a quarterback who breaks the pocket a lot and a quarterback who can run on a designed play or a keeper on the zone read, you really will be missing those guys making tackles on the edges of that defense.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we were talking about a little earlier. Like, now you can, strangely enough, you can kind of look at this from the perspective of like coaching against Justin Fields, where you go, oh, here's to make it 11 on 11 in the run game with Mariota out there. Like, that's an added challenge. And I wrote down while Groats was talking and played the cut of Eric Washington, the other thing is, unlike other backups, it's similar to the situation with Andy Dalton. This is someone who knows how to prepare for a start. Now, whether or not he still has it in him to beat a defense that's as good as this, I don't know.
Did he ever?
I mean, yeah, there were some good moments for Marcus in the middle part of his career as a starter. But, yeah, I think it's fair to go, can he win them the game? And I think the answer to that question is probably no. But there might be a play here. Like, think about how things went in the last six games for the Bears last year, where there was a play where Justin like broke someone's back because he made a big run and it ended up running out the clock on a game.
But in the fourth quarter of those games, when he had to just go back and pass, it was more of a challenge. And maybe that'll be the same if Mariota ends up in that spot, Mark.
Yeah, and I'll just add before we move on to Shane Waldron that, yeah, Mariota was very good in the final. I know you gave some really good nuggets on his day. He finished 18 of 23, 205, two TDs, and zero picks. But I will say, and I think I mentioned this to you guys the other day, you know, there's a reason that he is a backup. And eventually, as we have seen historically with the Bears, eventually backup quarterbacks are exposed. And I think that when they get put into a game, there's enough adrenaline going. There's enough of you got nothing to lose going on. But when you have to think about it for a week, I think that that's what separates backups from starters in this league, and I think eventually Mariota will be exposed as a backup, and I think it may happen against the Bears this week. So while I take him seriously, I think the Bears will have their way with Mariota if it is him.
Hey, Mark, quickly, there's no update on Brisker and Gordon, right? I mean, they didn't practice. Was there any more context given?
Great question. No other context given today. Matt Eberflus does not talk on Thursdays. He will speak tomorrow. We'll obviously have some closure on that. I mean, I can't call it. I wasn't able to, you know, get any other information from it, but I am doubtful about both of these guys, and I was early in the week, and nothing has changed my mind.
Hey, man, thanks for calling it a great question. That was sweet.
Yeah, just count those up, man.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like your baseball guy. Yeah.
So now let's talk Shane Waldron.
What do you think of Lawrence's segue right there? It was pretty good, too, right?
I think it was necessary. I think you and I, it just wasn't going anywhere.
I had bogged it down with trying to get more validation. You're right.
But as we were saying about Shane Waldron.
Hey, what about the Bears beating the Packers twice this year? Let's get back to that, huh? Yeah!
Yeah, pandering to the crowd. That's my bit.
I know it is. I actually picked the Bears to lose twice to the Packers. Good night, everybody. I'm sorry.
You're not the only one.
Bastard.
I'm just being honest. Yeah. That was at the beginning of the season. All right, Shane Waldron. Let's get to the Bears offensive coordinator. And I know you guys have played some of the audio from Shane Waldron. I'll bring you a couple of different cuts here. And we're going to start with what the buzzwords were during the bye week for the coaching staff, and Matt Eberflus talked about this a ton. That is self-scouting during the bye week. Here's Waldron on that.
I think the big thing for self-scout, too, for me is, you know, that's a weekly process, you know, as different things evolve and technologies. It's something that, that our departments do a great job, whether it's analytics or the different information some of our younger coaches provide for us on a weekly basis. But then we get a chance to have an off time and truly look back. I think the big thing, obviously, is starting faster, you know, keep putting an emphasis on that. And a lot of that is going to come down to opening drive, third down conversions. Knowing that if you can stay, you can convert on third downs, you can extend those opening drives, you can extend those first quarter drives and play a little bit more efficient at the beginning of games. But it's also not to say that if you play well throughout the course of the game, you know, have a chance to rebound from those things if it doesn't start perfectly. So, but that would be the biggest takeaway from the week off and looking back at some self-scout.
Love it. The first two drives against Jacksonville, both third downs. One was an incompletion that Caleb had to get rid of as the pocket collapsed. Another was a sack. So, and I remember on both of them thinking, God, it feels like Caleb held that a little long, but I couldn't tell exactly where the coverage was. So, good bit of self-scouting there, Mark.
Yeah, there were, you know, there were honestly, like early on in that game, Caleb Williams threw the ball at his offensive lineman. He threw it at Matt Pryor. That was an embarrassing moment. He missed DJ Moore early on and then finally started to tune things up. I can't figure out exactly why the starts have been so bad, but maybe it has something to do with, you know, Shane Waldron finally getting his act together in terms of smoothing out the play calls and the scripted plays early on.
It's funny because we had a conversation with Logan Paulson earlier about egos and keeping everyone fed on an offense. Is that something that the Bears are thinking about too?
They have to be thinking about it. And Shane Waldron, again, you know, we talked about Keenan Allen yesterday, and I followed up with Waldron about how important it was to get Keenan Allen going. But yeah, he's got to manage a bunch of guys on that offense. And here's Waldron talking about that.
Yeah, I think for Keenan, you know, talk about an ultimate pro, knowing that a guy that's, you know, accumulated so many reps, so many catches, so many yards, touchdowns, all the things, to deal with a little bit of injury things at the beginning of the season there. Missed him on a few opportunities early on in the season. And what I saw from Keenan is showing up to work every single day, ready to ask questions, ready to talk through situations, ready to look how he can, you know, blend, you know, in with everyone else that's on the offense. And so I think when the opportunities presented themselves this past 2 weeks ago, I guess now in Jacksonville, you know, he's ready to make his plays, which he always is. And I think, you know, one of the hard parts is always going to be when you have DJ, Keenan, Rome, you know, Cole, Gerald, Swift, all these guys, Roshan, that were, you know, mixing and matching, you know, touches for it. You know, each week might play out a little bit differently. But always knowing, you know, for us as a coaching staff, we know Keenan's a guy that can, you know, is a unique route runner. His ability to get separation, his ability to get open, aggressive hands, the way he can win at the top of routes, you know, something that we're always going to, from a schematic standpoint, trying to get him involved in as much as we can.
Yeah, Keenan is like one of the only guys who has a contract situation and is at a point of his career where you could potentially see him getting grumpy and feeling selfish.
And I mean, the contract situation is the reason why he's a Bear.
Yes. Yes, and it's funny. I was talking to somebody the other day. It was like, in the NFL, if you want to keep somebody, you can keep somebody. Like, you can find a way with the cap and everything like that. So if you're sending somebody away, there's usually a reason, and it's not only the contract thing. So, but I don't. We haven't seen anything from Keenan like that's concerning. We just know the profile and we know the history of these kind of situations.
Yeah, I think it's common sense that a guy who has been that successful, a guy that's coming off a 1,400-yard year last year, mm-hmm. It's common sense that he's going to want the football, expect the football. And not only that, I mean, I think there's some humility involved. I mean, with the stuff they were talking about yesterday, he wants to contribute. He wants to be part of the party that seems to be growing here with the Chicago Bears this year.
And you can see, like, how important he could be for this offense because of what he does.
Dude, he's really good. And his skill set and his size and his smarts and his ability to turn to whatever shoulder the ball is going to, his hands, his ability to win routes, it's massively important.
How you can trust him on a slant over the middle because he's tough as nails.
That fourth down play, it's a long time ago already against Jacksonville, but Grody, that fourth down play when they didn't feel like punting and pinning because they didn't trust Cole Kmet to do a long snap, but he still won Special Teams Player of the Week. but fourth and three, and it was a Keenan slant, and they converted. That's a really good sign.
Yeah, I was just going to say, too, to both of you guys, with the points that you were making about what he does beyond those two touchdowns. You just mentioned the fourth down play. What I was just got up for was even just the third down conversions on a couple of those slants, because that's his bread and butter. The touchdowns are the best. That's obviously what you want. But his big thing coming here, this is your third down guy. Not that DJ Moore can't be your third down guy and Cole Kmet and Roma Dunze, but that is what he does, and now he is doing the things that we knew he could do, and let's see if he continues to do that.
There's a lot of ways we could frame this game, you know? Caleb Williams going back to where he went to high school, Eberflus versus Kingsbury. We've yet to talk about the Montez Sweat revenge game.
It's on, man. And look, I failed, and maybe other reporters failed yesterday to get the hype machine going with Caleb Williams yesterday. He just wasn't biting on it.
And apparently, Mark, he's only been back there twice since he went to Oklahoma. So it's like the whole family kind of left. So
they don't really like his hometown anymore.
Well,
yeah,
just moving
yeah.
on. But anyway.
Could be. Montez Sweat. I put together all things going back to Washington, the team that traded him to the Bears. And I will just say that this was, again, full Montez. That's Montez. Get ready. This is a very clunky start to the interview with That's Montez.
Hey, I know him.
How are you?
You doing all right?
Great.
Good.
No, all at once.
How are you feeling about heading back to DC and facing your former team?
Feeling refreshed. It's going to be good to go back and see some of the guys I got drafted to and created some great relationships with. It's going to be good just being back in the stadium.
When you were traded, were you offended by that?
I mean, I think like any other player would be, they'd be a little offended. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I know it's a business. And I understand what comes with that. So I was offended, but I didn't take it personal.
What got you through that or over it, if you are over it?
Yeah, just being around just the guys here. They welcomed me in with open arms. And it was one of my better seasons that year that I got traded. And, I think just being here and the guys welcoming me in just got me well accustomed. I think I'm happy just being somewhere that I'm wanted. So being a place that they want me to be here, where I got a spot. It's a good environment. When you're around guys that you want to play for, you're around coaches that you want to play for, you go harder. I think that's a big part of the game.
In the name of human nature, you had to have circled this game on the schedule, right?
I mean, not necessarily, but it's here now, so we're here. You just got to just be where your feet are at.
And you want to do damage, right?
I mean, I want to do damage every week. So maybe this week is maybe a little bit motivational, but not. It's just another week.
Man, he's so chill right there. He's enjoying that conversation. I pictured you both in smoking jackets, like overstuffed chairs, standing ashtray, fireplace in the background. Very comfortable conversation.
Groat's just over there stoking flames, too.
I know. It's
you really want to beat
man.
Them bad, don't you, Montez?
You want to do damage.
It would really mean something to you if you were to beat them, wouldn't it, Montez?
You're damn right I ordered the code red. That's what I was trying to get out of him.
I know him.
How are you? You doing all right?
Great.
Good.
Any questions? Not all at once.
Not all at once.
What's up? That's Montez.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
On this week's episode of That's Montez, the family's back from England. They did not go on vacation. Montez was too tired, so he went back home to Atlanta. What awaited him in Atlanta? That dumbass granny.
Oh, no.
Over there just crocheting and making food in crock pots. Montez appreciated it after he didn't like the food in London. Next week on That's Montez, did he really want to do what he did to the Commanders? We'll see next week on That's Montez.
This promo for That's Montez was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
By the way, Montez going to be hosting a party tonight.
Is that why you have on your fancy jacket?
Yeah. I am the honorary guest. Yes, it's all of the Bears defensive linemen and me. That's what's going on tonight.
Sounds like a party.
Grody's here.
Who?
What are they doing? Yeah. What do they do?
No, every Thursday, and this was a tradition that DeMarcus Walker started last year when Sweat just got to the Bears. He'd have everybody over. They all watch Thursday Night Football. They order food. They talk ball. They go over film. And I just learned today, Montez Sweat has taken over the party. The party now will be at his house. I'm not allowed to give out the address, though.
I mean, he's the highest paid guy, so...
It makes sense.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. You got more Montez?
I got one more. One more from Sweaty. There was some joshing around going on with Keenan Allen during the Jacksonville game in London. And this is something that is going to be sweet to Bears fans' ears. And that is the fact that you had Montez Sweat saying, I got to get back on the field, man. The offense is, you know, hogging up all the time because the Bears had a huge time of possession. They were scoring like crazy. So Montez Sweat was like, I'm getting cold out here. I got to get back in there for a sack. So here's Sweat on that.
Yeah, it's a different type of feeling because I'm used to just three and outs and get back out there. And sometimes it gets frustrating, but you embrace those things. But to be on the other side of things, you're just hungry and you're waiting for your opportunity to get back out there and make some plays.
That's Montez.
That's Montez, baby.
He was joshing. He was joshing around.
There's just a little bit of joshing around going on.
Any nuggets yeah. or tidbits, sir?
Yeah, I give you a couple of things here. I had a talk with Tevin Jenkins today. Well, I circled back to him because he had told us, told all of the reporters that during the bye week that his agent would go to the Bears to see about a potential contract extension. And I asked Tevin if there was anything. He said he doesn't know. I said, don't you want to know? And he said, no, because I just want to play football right now. I don't need the added stress of thinking about that. But he said he will talk to his agent next week to see if there have been any conversations with the Bears. And I asked him, do you want to be here long term? And he said, I think I've made that very clear that I'd like to be here long term. So a little bit of stuff there on Tevin Jenkins. And then two more things. There was a basketball in the Bears locker room today, and wow, DJ Moore, that guy, he can dribble. He was putting on a dribbling Harlem Globetrotters like clinic in the locker room today.
Really? Like Curly Neal? Was he on the floor and spinning around?
Behind the back, wow. Between the legs. I was like, that's impressive. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. They're athletes. So, yes. Basketball was happening. And here's another thing, too, on the semi-serious side of the business. The NFL locker rooms are starting to change in terms of the access that we have, not necessarily in a bad way, but now when we do the scrums, we are not doing them in the locker room. The person that we're interviewing comes outside of the locker room. They set up the mic stands, and it is player to player in terms of one-on-one interviews. If they're comfortable doing them in the locker room, we'll do them in the locker room, or we will take them outside of the locker room to do it. So that has begun. There are stricter regulations some of the other NFL locker rooms, but it's begun for the Bears. Honestly, so far, so good with the way it's been.
That's how I figured it would probably go. I think that's progress, and as long as people stay available, I think it's a really, really good thing.
Groats, that's it, Lawrence. Yep.
As always, man, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for your hit.
My pleasure. Goodbye to everybody.
See you, guys.
I must fade away now.
Fading away. Goodbye. Hey, we're going to play categories next on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We need a crowd contestant. If you want to play, go talk to Shane, and we'll do a trivia qualification during the break. Categories is next on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
So, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is called Categories. We play it on Spiegel and Holmes. There are two sports categories, usually, and a third category, something pop culture that may have come up during the week on the show. Usually I host, but now we're going round and round. Chris Tannehill is the host today. The contestants are me, Matt Spiegel, him, Lawrence Holmes, Shane Reardon, and Jimbo, ladies and gentlemen.
Jimbo! Woo!
We adore Jimbo around these parts, don't we, folks? Give it up for Jimbo one more time.
One more time for Jimbo.
Tanny, you're on. Game on, sir. Jimbo gets to go first.
Well, before we get started, now that I have the mic, I just got to give a big shout out to my people over at La Villa for being in the house today once again. That was my neighborhood spot back in the day when I was living in Old Irving Park, and to see them and the people who run that place like in person today, that's really awesome, and the food was delicious. All right, I've got a list here of 154 men who call themselves Washington football pro bowlers over the years. This dates back to the 1950s. It's a lot of people here on this list. Just give me any of them. Washington football pro bowlers over the years.
So this is Commanders or the aforementioned
the football team. The other name. Don't say it, anyone.
Okay, Caleb said it yesterday. Don't say it,
He's
Jimbo.
He's grandfathered in. You can't say that either.
But Jimbo, you get to go first. A pro bowler from that franchise of any era.
Sean Taylor.
Absolutely. Good choice. Matt Bowen mentioned him earlier today.
I'm going to go with Sonny Jurgensen.
That's right, Speaks.
John Riggins.
Ooh, actually, so this was funny. What? He was an all-pro, but not a pro bowler.
What?
Wow.
I know, right?
What?
Okay.
Absurd.
I will take a seat.
Yeah.
How?
That is amazing.
How is Sonny Jurgensen a pro bowler and Riggins is not?
Again, it's a weird thing. All-pro, but not good enough to go to Hawaii, apparently. Maybe
wow.
He didn't like to fly. I don't know.
All right, I'll be over here. Maybe opted out.
Terry McLaurin.
Absolutely.
Chase Young.
Yep, Chase Young also on there.
Joe Theismann.
That's right, Speed.
Montez Sweat.
Yep.
Antonio Gibson.
Let's see, do I have an Antonio Gibson?
I like the guess. I'm going to go with Clinton Portis.
Yep, absolutely.
Trent Williams.
Oh, my guy, yep. He was a seven-time Pro Bowler over there.
How about Art Monk?
Yep.
Joe Jacoby.
Oh my God, that's great, Paul. That's phenomenal.
Is he a pro bowler?
Absolutely.
That's why we play the game, folks. Right there. How about Russ Grimm?
Yeah, he's a meat potatoes and he was a pro bowler as well.
An ill-fitting sweater as he made a speech trying to pitch himself for Bears coach.
The McClasky family.
There's a friend of the show on this list here still.
Oh boy.
Friend of the show. Flula Borg.
No, he was also just an all-pro, not a pro bowler.
How about Brian Mitchell?
Absolutely.
All right, that's it.
That's all you, Speaks.
I took the category. Who's the friend of the show? Logan Paulson? No.
No. No, Mark,
that guy was our pro bowler.
This guy wanted to punch Danny in the face, and who doesn't?
Oh, Mark Schlereth. Oh, the entire staff.
Mark Schlereth.
Oh, Mark Schlereth.
He was one of them hogs back in the day. All right. Well done. Well done. All right. Next category up here. Baseball's in the news, apparently. You guys been hearing about this? Baseball? World Series begins tomorrow.
Something about that.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Baseball, World Series. Bob Costas will be on the show tomorrow to officially let the ceremonies begin with baseball in the World Series.
It's true.
68 men have had the distinguished honor of becoming a Most Valuable Player Award winner, the Willie Mays MVP of the World Series. 68 men who have done it. What are their names?
All right, World Series MVPs. I'll go first. Ben Zobrist.
Absolutely.
Jermaine Dye.
Yes.
I don't. So here's the thing. I don't really care about sports at all.
Guess the mini pig.
Who's that Lamb guy from the Astros?
Jake Lamb?
Jake Lamb. Yeah, Jake Lamb is a World Series MVP.
No.
Right?
No, you got to win the World Series to
sorry,
get the MVP.
I mean Jose Altuve.
No Altuve.
No, I'm sorry. I mean I'm out.
He's
dude.
Out.
I'm sorry.
Jimbo got a World Series MVP from any era.
Reggie Jackson.
Absolutely.
That's a great call. I'll go with George Springer.
Yep. You got it. Lawrence?
Big Poppy.
He was indeed.
That's a great pull. Shane? Oh, no.
No,
it's
Jimbo. Jimbo. I couldn't name Jimbo. One Speaks.
That's right. One was your bugaboo. Jimbo?
Pavel Sandoval.
Oh, that's a great call.
Ooh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a tremendous pull. Madison Bumgarner.
He was.
Yogi Berra.
No Yogi Berra on this list.
Damn it.
Don Larson.
Ooh, good call. Yes.
Hey, Jimbo, who the hell is that?
He pitched a perfecto.
Threw a perfect game in 1956.
He threw
Don
a perfect
Larson.
Game in 1956. Oh, my bad.
He also did the Far Side cartoon. It was really good. All right, I will go with
Bob Larson, you silly goose.
I'll go with Bob Gibson.
Yeah, multiple time MVP award winner. Good job.
How about Kirk Gibson?
Ooh, no.
I'll go Mickey Lolich for the win.
Absolutely, Spies. Good job.
Thank you very much.
Three
games for the Tigers in 1968.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
1968. What a year.
Year of the pitcher, Shane. You know that. Denny McClain won 31 games. I don't have to tell you.
All right, the final category here. Al Pacino, 84 years young, folks.
Damn it.
He's penned his first memoir. It's called Sonny Boy, where he tells stories of his storied Hollywood career. I'm enjoying it very much, personally. I'm reading it right now. We're listening to it, but whatever.
That counts.
He's got over 60 acting credits to his name.
Wow.
60 movies or TV appearances, not including himself. These are roles that Al Pacino has played.
Tremendous.
Mostly movies here. They're over 60. What are they?
Lawrence is first.
Scarface.
Good choice. Actually, not really. The movie sucks. But yeah, you still got it right.
Brian De Palma on line one for you.
The Gucci one.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
House of Gucci?
Yeah, House of Gucci. Well done.
Any Given Sunday.
Absolutely.
Dog Day Afternoon.
Yep.
Scent of a Woman.
Yep.
Hoo-ha!
I'm drawing a blank on Al Pacino movies. I don't watch movies.
Shameful.
I just saw that Gucci one last week.
Shameful.
Shane, have you seen The Godfather? It's
yeah, good
kind
job,
of a
Jimbo.
Here comes.
I mean, Jimbo, I know you listen. No, I have not.
I've not
seen The Godfather.
I'll go with The Godfather Part 2.
Oh, here comes the run on Godfather movies.
It's like when tight ends go in round 3 of the draft.
The Godfather Part 3.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, good choice. It's the best one.
Heat.
Ooh, love Heat. Yep.
Uh-huh. Oh, God. Now, my brain is freezing.
Warm it up.
Oh, my God. What's happening? There's a million, but I already said a lot of them. The Taking of Pelham 123. I don't think he's in that.
No, he's not in that.
Yeah. I my brain froze.
He should have been.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah, any movie would have been better with Al Pacino.
Carlito's Way.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a million. Jimbo.
So the thing about dead air and radio, we don't like it.
Three.
Inside Job.
Ooh, I don't see Inside Job on here.
Lawrence for the win. You got another?
Did we say The Devil's Advocate?
No, we did not. We did not. Outstanding. Lawrence Holmes very wins well category done. Three.
Nice, Lawrence.
I was having a moment of panic when Jimbo said Kirk Gibson for 88 World Series MVP. I was like, ooh, did I miss that in my research? But it was Oral Hershiser.
Okay, so good.
We can all sleep comfortably now.
Yes, we can. Tanny, great job, buddy.
Oh, thanks, guys. It was my pleasure.
That is awesome.
And thanks to this crowd. Give yourselves a hand, crowd.
Okay, you panderer.
He's doing great.
He's pandering.
You guys are in the Western Hemisphere, the greatest hemisphere in the world.
Now he's straight up doing the Mick Foley. I'm so happy to be right here in Chicago. That's what he's doing. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, there'll be more participation from the people here. We're going to do an Ask Us Anything.
Yes, we are. And Dave Wanstead at the top of the hour with great Bears stuff and bourbon and conversation and a hang.
All of that is next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on The Score.
That's not a promo. I don't know what is.
Ask us anything.
Ha! Perfect. Serpico. Glengarry, Glen Ross.
So many. So many. But that's the challenge of categories. You got to think of it.
On your feet.
On your feet. On your feet is another thing that these listeners here should do if they want to ask a question. Here during Ask Us Anything, Shane Reardon has the microphone. Raise your hand and come to your feet for a question, and we will get to you before we get to Dave Wanstead at the top of the
Name,
hour.
Name, where you're from, and what your question is.
Ashley Leslie from Huntley, Illinois. Just a quick question in regards to the show name. Normally, people whose first name is the driver on the show. So how'd you guys decide who's the driver of the show?
Thank you, Leslie.
I looked at it as, like, it, one, it doesn't matter to me. Two, Spiegs is the home team. So his name goes first.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, Boers and Bernstein.
Bernstein, Dan drove.
Dan was the driver. So I don't think it necessarily matters. I understand what you're saying, but I appreciate the sentiment of being the home team. We never even had to discuss it, so... It's one of the joys of me and Lawrence getting to work together is we've been through a lot already. And so we're just like, we're happy to just get to show up and work together and have it be low maintenance. And it's nice. So,
yeah. And like people think that stuff, Matt, I honestly got to tell you, in my entire career, maybe your experience has been different. I haven't met anyone who really cares. Like if Bernstein and Holmes had been Holmes and Bernstein, Dan wouldn't have cared. He'd been like, okay. Just tell me where to go.
Yeah, my experience has been different. What's next? It's the next question. Next question.
Jerry Mattson, South Bend, Indiana.
Jerry! Good to see you,
good
sir.
Good to see you. I've been watching Breakfast Ball. Can I say that? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Of course.
So I have to...
Dump him.
So I have to ask... Particularly you, Shane, and Tanny, and Lawrence.
Oh, this is their thing.
Yeah.
Have you guys been watching? Do you get up in the morning? Do you see what he's doing, or do you just...
I haven't been tuning in on TV in the assigned time. I watch a lot of the clips that get shared from Danny's account or from the show account, and I also know how much that is of the game. And I've talked to Danny, like he did the one thing, or I guess he does it every week with the football teams and the racing thing. I think it's really well done. And it's like, I know the space he's trying to break in. He and I have talked about it so much. So I watch a lot of the clips and give him feedback that way.
Yeah, I mean, I do watch it. I watch it every morning. Obviously, I'm watching Breakfast Ball.
Tanny,
you're watching it, right? Well, we get the majority of our content from that show.
Well, so the reality is, like, when they first launched, I watched it practically every day because we were still in a transition phase here with our show. So it was kind of like, oh, okay, I have time to do this. But, like, once we got settled back into the new show, I have not been able to watch as much. I can tell you it's a very good show, and it feels like a radio show on TV, mm-hmm. which is kind of what the vibe that they want. And they're all professionals, and they're all have radio backgrounds. So I think it's a really good show, and I've seen the clips online, and we still talk to Danny a lot. But no, not every day, because I'm checking out the pick six or the 5:30 a.m. free for all before the pick six, yep. you know, on Mully and in Haw. So yeah. You know, I'm mostly listening to our station just for our purposes, but it's not a knock on Breakfast Ball. But I think I'm best served checking out our station's content usually.
I consume it the way Speaks does, mostly through the clips of it.
Yeah. Next question, sir.
Hi, I'm Steven from Aurora.
Hi, Steven.
Lawrence, since you're excluded from the last question, I have one for you. You've worked at like every time slot except for morning. So which one is your favorite?
Well, I mean, I produced in mornings too. So I guess it is now every time slot. This one's really starting to grow on me and I didn't realize it. Like I got a text message from Ranji after I got the gig and he's like, you're going to love the time slot. And I'm like, no, I mean, obviously like I'm going to love working with Speaks. He's like, that's not what I mean. And now I get it. Like after a month of doing it, I have my entire morning. And like this week has been like a really good week to like I went to the dentist a couple days ago. I had a doctor's appointment. I went and had a blood draw today. I got all that stuff done before I had to start like prepping for the show. So because of that, along with how easy it has been for me to just kind of drop in here, this has now become my favorite.
Wait until you get older.
Well, that's why I never wanted to do mornings ever again, because it takes years off your life.
There's a tax for mornings.
Mike Grosvenor, Rockville, Illinois.
Hello, Mike.
Hello. So you guys have all both worked with a lot of different hosts in the past. And topic lately has been opening doors for people as you go.
Closer?
Sorry. Yes.
Who would you guys say you've learned the most from in the industry? And I don't want to say favorite, but who's your favorite?
Wow. I did learn some stuff from Murph, produced him way back in the day.
So did I.
Yeah, right? He played radio effectively. Dan McNeil. I mean, I was a producer for Dan McNeil, and then I was a co-host for Dan McNeil, and his radio muscles of doing the mechanics as a driver were just remarkable. Like, just so instinctual and easy and comfortable, and it was... So, I mean, I'm on the Mac tree, and I'm proud of that.
Am I allowed to use any of my TV experience, or is this strictly radio? Okay, I've probably learned the most from Dan, like coming all the way up from, you know, my style of reporting is similar to his because he basically mentored me. So I would say that I probably learned the most from Dan. I did a show nationally on Stadium Network with Michael Kim and Laura Britt, and that was so much fun for me, like to do a show every day with two professionals like that. It was really amazing. I still consider them some of my best friends in the industry to this day.
And I'll give a quick shout out to Dan Bernstein's old solo show on Saturday mornings on
which
the Score.
Which we each produced.
It was very creative and fun. And I'll give a shout out to Danny Parkins, who I learned a lot from working with. Like the way he prepared and some of the ways that he thought about it. So you can always learn.
And I'll add, like, this is not like the way that this necessarily goes, but my time doing the football after show was like going to grad school. Like, it was amazing, and those guys were so helpful. And watching football with guys that I covered and filling in gaps of stuff that I thought I knew but I don't is pretty amazing.
Very good questions, people. Thank you so much. Spiegel & Holmes gets to continue.
Yeah, we got a special guest that's going to join us.
Come on now.
I mean, this is why they're here, right?
I think so.
You guys want to drink with Wani? So do we. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Mango?